Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. Separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions. Amen. As we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, brother. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. This is the last show before Christmas.
Before we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior.
And we want to welcome everybody listening this morning and wish every one of our listeners a Merry Christmas.
Every one of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was it little Timmy said? Was it Timmy? Was that his name?
Are you doing that on purpose?
No, not really. Not really. No.
What did little Timmy say?
Well, something about Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. That wasn't him that said that, but something along that line. Some of our listeners may remember exactly where that came from.
Maybe.
There's so many Christmas movies this time of the year.
Oh, boy.
Talked a little bit about that last week, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How that most people, when they think of Christmas, they think of the Christmas story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie, but as we said last week, doesn't really mention Christmas at all, or doesn't mention Jesus, I should say.
Yeah.
And that's what Christmas is all about.
That is what it should be about.
Yeah.
That's what it should be about first and foremost.
Now, we have people, you know, that will say to us, well, you shouldn't even recognize Christmas. And we have those who say, you can't do this and you can't do that. That's been around for years.
Yeah. And it'll always be around.
It will always be around. I agree wholeheartedly. It will always be around. So if folks wanted to reach us, how could they do that tomorrow?
They could give us a call, 789-0318, 789-0318. You can also email us, if that's better for you, at godspointofview@yahoo.com. Again, that's godspointofview@yahoo.com. We're on the Facebook page this morning on God's Point of View, if you want to check that out. And then the great Scott, as I like to call him, has a cellular device in his hand.
Yes.
That you could text him.
Yes.
Or you could give him a call.
367-0137. That's locally. Out of the area, just add that 606.
Before the number.
Of course. 367-0137.
Yeah.
And that'll get us. And we'll take your text. You can text us later. You can text us during the show. You can call later if you'd like. Might not be able to talk to you when you call, but leave a message and I'll be happy to call you back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a cold, kind of a cold rain this morning.
Yeah. It came in because when I came to work, got here about a quarter till four, the moon was shining and,
yes, sir.
But I knew what was coming and it
yes,
kind of is kind of like what things to come are.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in life the sun is shining and everything's wonderful and then the storm is a-coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know the storm is coming. That's
Amen.
A fact. That's
Amen.
A fact. Jesus talked about the storm.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about building your house so that the storm would not damage it or destroy it. He talked about building upon the right foundation so that, in fact, when the storm came, your house would, in fact, stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's upon the rock.
Yep. That little song that we sing in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Foolish man built his house upon the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
right.
That's
where it came from.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Came from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. A lot of people believe that Jesus was talking about one thing or another, but what he was talking about, and he states it very clearly, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them.
Mm-hmm.
The emphasis is on doeth.
Doeth.
Them. Like the little lady that came last night and was baptized
Amen.
Into Christ.
Amen.
Sister Lemaster,
mm-hmm.
who said she visits our rescue mission from time to time and talking to folks over there and listens to the broadcast here. I hope she's listening this morning. God bless you, sister, if you're
Amen.
Listening this morning.
Bless her heart.
Glad to have you in the Highland Highland family. And so checking the emails here at godspointofview@yahoo.com. Don't seem to have any emails here this morning. Had a lot early this morning, but most of them advertisement.
Oh, did you buy anything off there?
No, not this morning I haven't. But buying's been going on pretty much since the first of the month.
Been a bunch of buying going on.
Oh,
we can write us a song about that. Bunch of buying going on.
Bunch of buying going on. We could put that to a bluegrass tune. Then we ought to have something going there.
Yeah, could be.
You know, there's a lot of people this time of the year that aren't really happy because of loss of a loved one.
Yeah.
Because someone in their family they are estranged from.
Yep. Could be just because they're alone.
Sure, sure. Did you see that report the other day about how loneliness is causing more old-timers, baby boomers, we could say, to be sick and infirm and die early? Loneliness. Loneliness is a killer. You know, God said at the very beginning, Timotheus, that it wasn't good for man to be alone.
Yep.
That's why he created woman. He created woman to be his helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, this fellow hadn't planned on living alone, but he had a couple of wives to die, and then he had some other unfortunate circumstances in marriage, but some additional unfortunate circumstances, but he finds himself alone, and he doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to get out. Doesn't want to have any visitors. It affects you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically.
It's like a plague.
It is like a plague.
You know,
it is.
So, and wasn't there an experiment years ago with babies?
There was.
That you'd told about that some of the babies they just fed and diapered. They didn't cuddle them. They didn't
absolutely
talk to them, and the babies didn't live.
They didn't live.
Yeah. Now, they when a baby, live. I mean, that tells you something. What's in us and what we're not to be alone. When a baby does that, they really don't know. They don't understand. But it's built in us not to be alone.
It is indeed. It is what we call innate.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of our makeup, part of our nature that God put in us the need for companionship.
Mm-hmm.
But he also put something else in us, and that is the need for relationship with him.
Yep.
And there's a void in a person's heart until that void is filled. You know, nature abhors a vacuum, and something will fill a vacuum. And
something, somewhere, somehow.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. And God wants to be the one to do that. And a lot of people are looking for that in all the wrong places. They're looking for peace, and they're looking for satisfaction. Can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after being a Christian now for over a half century, that sounds like a long time, doesn't it?
it's a year or two.
Over a half century, I can say, looking back. And that's how we really prove the Lord, is by looking back at where we've been, where we've come from, and how he has blessed us. I've said often, all learning takes place in reflection. I believe that learning really isn't achieved until we look back and see where we've been, where we've come from, how God has blessed us. And all of the Ebenezers that we, 1 Samuel 7 talks about the Ebenezers
mm-hmm.
that we erect in our lives, to look back and say, yep, that was God. God helped me to that point. And so it is even today. Think about people in nursing homes this time of year. I think about people who are sick and infirmed in their homes. Think about the Highland members who are homebound and can't get out. And of course, we have an active ministry for them, have had for many years. But I'd like to share something today, folks, with you that maybe you haven't thought about this year. And I've been pondering this a lot because I've never been where I am this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a place in my life that I heard about, read about, never thought a whole lot about. I just figured, you know, I used to say I'd love to die in the pulpit, and I think that's a good way for any preacher to go out, just preach his best sermon, and then the Lord just take him on to heaven.
Mm.
And I've known some came close to that. And I've heard of those who did, in fact, die after their sermon.
Mm-hmm.
But something that I think is often overlooked, and I see it now more than ever before. Timotheus, it's like this. When you're involved in a major important undertaking,
mm-hmm.
You are so emotionally invested in that at the time that you cannot see the bigness of it.
Oh, yeah, amen, yeah.
That's another way of not being able to see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, it's like the inside looking out.
Yeah.
There's a difference between the outside looking in.
Amen. Well, I'm outside, and I'm looking in.
Yeah.
And after all of the people in our churches and our communities are served, and all of the civic organizations, you know, do their part at Christmas time, and don't they do a good job?
Amen.
Fire departments and police officers and all of these things that we do this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to remember, and those are all good things. We remember the unfortunate, the less fortunate, and the infirmed, and all of that. Let me ask you to consider somebody else. Let me ask you folks, especially you Christian people, to not forget your pastor.
Amen.
Now you say, well, that's pretty self-serving of you. No, no, I retired in August, and so
you're not the pastor
I'm
anymore.
Not the pastor, and I can view this differently, and I can talk about it in a way that is not self-serving for me.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I found that there are some additional freedoms in not being a local pastor that I didn't have when I was. For 44 years,
mm-hmm.
I struggled with the very things I want to share with you. You Christian people, you brothers and sisters in Christ, that your pastors are dealing with right now. And you need to stop and pray for them,
mm-hmm.
and tell them you are, and help them. Help them. Christmas season is about over. And everybody's having a lot of fun. Now, I'll be leaving here in just a little bit and going to Little Light Academy, and there we'll have the Christmas play and so forth, for the kids there at Little Light, and Santa Claus will show up, and we'll have a great time. That's just part of the, I'm going today as a granddad, but mm-hmm. I've gone so many times at these things over the years as the pastor. And so, while it's difficult for a lot of people, please don't forget that it is difficult for pastors too. Here's some reasons. Number one, the season feels like it goes on for too long.
Hmm.
You know, our culture contributes to that feeling, of course. Shopping malls start decorating for Christmas right after Halloween.
Yep.
Churches do it. When we practice for presentations, sometimes weeks, and sometimes in some churches, big, big mega churches, months ahead of time, plan for a big Christmas Eve service in advance several weeks. All of that's important. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes the season seem so long.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, you've got your normal duties or responsibilities, and this is added to...
Of course it is.
...the normal things.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
But we're all so focused on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. We have to be.
Yes.
And your pastor will never say these things to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want to sound self-serving.
Amen.
But he has the same... obligations and the same duties that many in his church have. So the season feels like it just goes on way too long. And people have said that to me over the years. They get depressed and discouraged, and they'll say, you know, I love it, but it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you know pastors feel that way sometimes?
Yeah.
Season feels it goes on far too long. Number two, the season is a non-stop season, it seems. I know it will eventually stop. But the events are numerous, the expectations are high, there's all kinds of small group parties to attend, personal invitations from church members, senior adult luncheons, all kinds of visits, parties going on, and you're expected to be there. There's an occasional Christmas wedding. I remember a wedding we had one on more than one occasion over the years at Christmas time. Got so that we just had to say no weddings at Christmas. because it just takes too much out of you.
Too much.
People love the thought of having a Christmas wedding, and but you know, if you're a pastor, we made that decision a number of years ago. Jessica and I, who was my administrative assistant secretary for years.
Maybe her calling now.
No, not her calling now. But she, we would just wear ourselves out.
Yeah.
Especially at Christmas time. So we decided we're not, you know, we're important too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just not going to have any more at Christmas time. And so we didn't. So it just seems like it just keeps going and going and going. There's everything right and nothing wrong with saying no to some of these things. If you don't, if you say yes to everything, brother, you'll experience sooner or later burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So preachers feel that the season sometimes is just nonstop. Cut him some slack. Give him a break.
Amen.
Don't expect him. Don't make him feel guilty because he can't show up to everything. Amen. Number three, family time can be sidelined.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when being with family is stressed over and over and over, from Thanksgiving through the New Year's, we talk about family and how important family is. It's easy to spend all of one's time, speaking from a pastor's point of view, spend all of your time, especially the weeks before Christmas, in other activities for other people. When you have your own needs, you've got messages to prepare. You know, Christmas Eve sometimes requires more focus for the church and the obligations to the church than your own family. We recognized that a long time ago and therefore did not start the Christmas Eve service. A lot of churches do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel if more churches understood from the pastor's point of view what additional stress that puts on him, they would rethink that. You see, our families often take note when they see us minister more to others than to them.
Amen. Amen.
That really happens.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful when we get to heaven and we see all the people that we've influenced to get to heaven. On the right-hand side, we keep looking for our people, our own family. Wouldn't it be sad if we didn't see them?
Or didn't know them.
Number four. The needs around us are often more emphasized at Christmas time. You know, there was a number of, for some years, that our church was like a lot of churches. We didn't do much during the year in terms of activities, but it all came to a head at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you feel like you need to do something with the community. There's people who are hungry, and at Christmas time, churches scurry about to find some way to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Those homeless people in churches scurry around to want to feel good about doing something to help the homeless and poverty and hurting children. The list goes on and on and on. Best thing to do is kind of spread that out throughout the year. That's why we have a Highland Community Food Basket. That's why we have the Rescue Mission.
Amen.
That's why we have these things and people to oversee them,
mm-hmm.
so that not any one person will be overworked or just work to the point to where that they have to forsake something that they should be doing first, but they have to come in and do something that's a second or third. In other words, the apostles told the early church, can't you appoint somebody over this so we can give our attention to the word of God and to prayer? Mm-hmm. That was the first food basket, by the way, Acts chapter 6. So it's a matter of delegation. And a lot of preachers, for whatever reason, some because they've just never been taught that, some don't know to do it, some don't want to give up any authority and won't let anybody else do anything. Yes, pastor brother, pastor friend, maybe talking to you today. If you want to have a lengthy pastorate, you need to delegate. You need to get people involved. That's the early church's way of doing it. So these needs just seem so great, and it causes the person in the pew to be depressed. It causes people who don't have a church home to be depressed. The emphasizing the needs. You know how many commercials we see in the course of a day for Shriners? Shriners Hospitals, St. Jude's,
mm-hmm.
and how many veterans, and all of them are good.
Yeah, wonderful things.
But, you know, you can get depressed over all of that.
You can.
And preachers are no different.
Amen.
Pick one of them and try to help somebody. And then feel good about what you're doing and not guilty about the rest of it. You can't help everybody.
And maybe don't pay too much attention to all the criticism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you pay attention to criticism, you'll never accomplish anything.
Amen.
It's not the critic who counts.
Yeah.
It's the person who's sweat and blood and on the front lines, whose face is dirty, whose hands are dirty, the person who's been in the fight.
Yeah.
I'd like to take credit for that, but Teddy Roosevelt said that years ago.
Well, if you listen to the critics, you'll never, like you said, you'll never accomplish anything.
Never.
But if you're going to try to do good in one of those areas, you're always going to have critics.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen.
Absolutely, it's going to happen. And we need to get beyond that. It takes, again, speaking for pastors, it takes a few years to learn that. So, I think we're at number five, the Christmas sermon.
Mm.
The whole series of messages for the Christmas season. You know, for all these years, 40 plus years, I tried to have something that would stimulate and educate and enlighten and have people leaving feeling good about themselves.
You mean you just didn't have that same sermon you kept preaching over and over and over?
No. I know it happens. I'm told a lot, but I never did do that.
Yeah.
Because we want something fresh.
Amen.
We want something that we can sink our teeth into. We want some meat.
Amen.
And as I used to say, I preached all my sermons like a smorgasbord, you know. I just lay it all out there on the table, and there's something for the baby Christian. There's something for the toddler Christian. There's something for the tween Christian. There's something for the teen Christian and the adult Christian and the senior Christian.
Amen.
Everybody can't eat and digest the same thing, so I always tried. But I don't think, let me back up. I know the average person in the pew, the average Christian, has no idea of the pressure
Mm-mm.
that it puts on a local pastor to keep coming up with something that meets with their approval. And you say, well, I'll just satisfy myself. Well, that's all well and good. But if you don't satisfy the congregation, they'll let you know about it one way or the other.
Yeah, and there's a reason that the Lord put you in that position.
Absolutely. You say, well, if they don't like it, you can just quit. No, if you're called to pastor, you will do it.
Amen.
No matter what you have to put up with.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it puts a lot of pressure on a pastor. You know, I would start when I was, this is the first year that I haven't had to be concerned about five or six fresh sermons.
Amen.
You know, you're talking, you used to be when I was preaching even a little bit more in various, at the jail and places like that, I was doing six and seven and eight sermons a week. And Christmas time puts an additional burden on you. Folks, I'm not here to cry you a river over poor old pastors. I'm not doing that at all. I think it's the greatest job in the world. I'm proud to have been able to serve God in that capacity. I'm just simply telling you, in all of your remembrance of people this time of year who need help.
Yeah.
Don't forget the man who stands in front of you week in, week out.
That's always helping somebody else.
Absolutely. Try to help him some. Take a little bit of the burden off of him. You know, we know the word itself is never stale. We know that. But it feels that way when we're looking, when we preachers, when we pastors are looking for something new, some new way, some fresh way to tell the Christmas story all over again. I just hate pulling out last year's message and doing the same thing over again. It feels so inadequate. And I think that's the difference in a preacher who is successful oftentimes and one who is not in terms of preaching the word. Number six, the season can give rise, and this season is no different, to controversial issues.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we turn around, you know, somebody questions, should we even be celebrating Christmas? I remember 1985.
We're going back a year or two.
We're going back a year or two. We hung a Christmas wreath on our door. How much time we got to mow this? 5 minutes.
You got about 5 minutes, five and a half minutes.
We hung a Christmas wreath on the church house door.
Mm.
And we had some folks come to the church service, and they saw the wreath on the door.
Took exception to that, huh?
And they left.
Mm-hmm.
They turned around, got in their car, and left.
Because there was a wreath on the door.
Because there was a Christmas wreath on the door. And yet they went home, and they had Christmas wreaths and Christmas trees and presents and all of that. Because they separated the two. This is secular, and that's spiritual. Let me tell you something. You're ready for a fall when you live that way. When you divide life that way, you're going to fall. Listen, friend, all of life is spiritual. Every bit of it is spiritual.
Amen.
Every bit of it. So, whether somebody's going to question, before this year is over, somebody will question me about December 25th. They do all the time. Well, they used to.
Yeah.
Now I just tell them to call one of the elders.
Call the elders.
You know, another will complain about it's a pagan holiday. Come on, have we not grown beyond that?
Yeah.
Are we still an infant? Christmas trees in the church building. Don't you know the Bible talks about that? No, the Bible does not talk about that. The Bible talks about going into the forest, into the woods, cutting down a tree and putting gold and silver on it and worshiping as an idol. Talks about that.
Yeah, we don't worship the tree.
But we don't worship the tree. We know better than that.
Yeah.
Let me calm down here a little bit. I'm getting on my high horse here. Number seven, just about finished. Visitors show up on Christmas, but a lot of people leave town. I'll tell you what, this is the death knell of a lot of churches. Are people who weekend away from the church, people who leave at holiday time, people who, not only do they leave, take their presents at holiday time, they take their offering at holiday time, and yet the church has the same budget to meet the next week.
Amen.
And this kills pastors. I mean, it just, they pray about it. They worry about it. They get on their knees and ask God to help them about it. Show us, Lord, what we need to do. And all of that could be relieved. If you have to be gone, would you leave your offering before you go?
I won't make any mentions of any names, but I took communion to a young lady. I say that because in her heart, she was a young lady. And she, and I was told this. She wasn't healthy enough to attend church. She was struggling with her health, but she always made sure that her money was there.
Always.
Always made sure.
Always.
What a sweet lady.
And you people who, your health is not ailing, you don't have any reason not to be there except you're out of town, and I understand that happens sometimes. I'm not totally insensitive to that. What I'm trying to do is to help you become more sensitive to the needs of the local pastor.
Yeah.
And tell him, I've left my offering, Pastor. Because I know you got electric bill. We've got electric bill to pay next week. We've got a gas bill to pay next week. And maybe, I guess we're going to pay your salary next week, so we've got to have money.
No, be careful now. You brought up a whole other issue.
I know I did. So.
Don't have time for that one.
Don't have time for that one. So it's extremely important that if you leave town, don't leave with your offering.
Don't take your support with you.
I believe in make up giving.
Amen.
If I miss a week, I'm going to make it up.
Yeah.
Number eight, and finally. A holiday is not a holiday for everyone to whom we minister. Some people hurt. We mentioned this at the outset.
Yeah.
They've lost a loved one. They're celebrating Christmas the first time without them. Others grieve because a son or a daughter is in Afghanistan or Vietnam. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it? Or in Iraq or someplace like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're estranged. They haven't spoken to each other for years. Don't you know that preachers are right in the middle of those situations trying to help? And don't you know how many emotional units it takes for that? Don't you know by the time they stand up on Sunday morning to preach and you've come expecting to be uplifted? I got in the pulpit one Sunday morning and someone had left me a note. I opened it up, and I don't do this anymore, but I used to do that. That's how I learned not to do it, is to read mail before I preach. This particular one was pretty good, though. It said, feed me. They came needing to be fed.
Amen.
They didn't know but what maybe the preacher had been out at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning with some family that just lost a loved one or someone sick at the hospital. I'm telling you, it's hard to always be on.
Yeah.
I know you say, well, I don't expect that of him. I know you don't in your heart of hearts. But you do sometimes in the way you treat him. So please, what should be a joyous time of a year actually is a painful time for a lot of people who are called on to be ministered to by your pastor. It's up to you to help make it a joyful time for him. Have you remembered him at all this year? God bless you and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Jerry. That's going to do it for this edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. I'd like to invite you to services at the church: Sunday school Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evenings life groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Come and be with us at the Highland Church of Christ. And thank you again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.